Let us agree in prayers. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we lend our spirits to the Spirit of a living God within us, that out through the vessel of our being, you pour forth your wisdom with mighty clarity. Father, we thank you for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of that Spirit that you've so richly given to us in redemption. Our hearts are full of praise, thanksgiving, and gratitude tonight. And Father, we thank you because we receive the burden of ignorance dematerialized to your glory. And everybody said, amen. If you turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 3, we start from Acts chapter 3 tonight. You know, that prayer that we pray again and again, I know the part that many people like is the burden of ignorance dematerialized. But the part I like is out through the vessel of our being. Out through the vessel of our being. You pour forth your wisdom with mighty clarity. Acts chapter 3. And we are going to be reading from verse 25. Let's do 25. It says, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers. You are the children of the prophets. This is Peter speaking to the children of Israel after they healed the man at the beautiful gate. He says, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So God made a promise, he calls it a covenant, to the fathers, and especially to Abraham. And he said, when he says to the fathers, really, he's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he says, what is that promise? He says, the promise is that in your seed will all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Before we go too far, turn your Bibles with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, and I'm going to read verse 2. Daniel should be after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 9. If you have a good Bible, Daniel is after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2. Look at what it says. Says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So Daniel is a prophet, and he's telling us how prophets come to be. He says, I understood by books. So what you find out is every prophet is a student of the prophet before. Every prophet is a student of the prophet gone before. So Daniel, as a prophet, said, I understood by books the number of years when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. So there's something that Jeremiah wrote that Daniel read, and then he understood concerning the word of the Lord. So it means that Jeremiah was also a student of the prophets gone before. And every prophet is a student of the other prophet, like that until Uncle Moses. Uncle Moses. So it means that all that we read, so it means that when we read forward, what does it mean? We need to read backward. So if you read from the front, you read forward, because what the guys at the front will be saying will be what the ones at the back have already said. So it means if you read something in Moses and you don't get it, don't stop. Read on. Okay? And if you read something in Daniel and you don't get it, what should you do? Read backwards. So the Bible is a book that you read forwards and back. Forwards and backwards. So, because everybody is a student of the ones before. Hallelujah. So if you go back to Acts chapter 3, we read that to establish a point. So if you go back to that Acts chapter 3 that we read, in verse 25, it says, ye, all of you, are the children of the prophets, okay, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed will all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So it means that when we read about Abraham, what are we reading? In thy seed will all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. We are reading of the promise that God made unto Abraham. So in case we don't get it, what should we do? We should go back to where it was written, right? Because we are students of the prophets, right? Aren't we? We are. So if you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, and we're going to read verse 1. It says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show you. So what is God saying to Abraham? Leave your country, leave your family, and go unto a land I will show you. So what is God's promise to Abraham? A land, or a land I will show you. A land by revelation, really. So this land is not the kind of land that Abraham will find on his own. Yeah, because it is the God said, it is a land I will show you. So when God says, I will show you something, what is that? Revelation. A land by revelation. A land I will show you. Look at what it now says in verse 2. And I will make of you a great nation. Aha. It's getting interesting now. When he says, I will make of you a great nation, is it something different from the land I will show you? No. He's just explaining. The land I will show you is what? I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. Okay? And make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Look at what he says in verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So if you go back to Acts, so hold your hand in Genesis, let's go back to Acts. One of these days, I'll get a Bible that has like five of these things. Acts chapter 3, look at what it says. What is the covenant that he said God made with Abraham? In thee will all the kindreds, that is all the families of the earth, be blessed. So if you go to Genesis, where did he say it? Genesis 12, 3. And he says, I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse you, and in thee will all the nations of the earth, or the families of the earth, be blessed. He already called that in verse 1 as what? The land I will show you. So what is God's promise to Abraham? Or what is, according to Peter, what is the covenant that God made with Abraham? In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Genesis makes us see that the promise is actually a land I will show you. So when you read about the land that God will give to Abraham, or the promised land, what is it? In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So when you think about the blessing of Abraham, so when we sing, Abraham's blessings are mine, what is the blessing of Abraham? The land that God promised. Or in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. We sing, I am blessed in the morning, I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham had cow. You don't need cow, do you? You probably need a Range Rover or something. Praise God. So what Abraham had then is not even useful for you. I mean, in terms of physical wealth, except you want to convert it to what you need now. So the blessing of Abraham is not the physical possession of Abraham. It is not. The blessing of Abraham is the promise of land, or the promise to make all the families of the earth to be blessed in Abraham. So what is this land that God promised Abraham? If you hold your hand in Genesis and you go to Exodus chapter 6. So now we are, remember, when we read something backward, what do? We read forward. So we are about to trace that land in the scriptures. The land that God promised Abraham. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus 6, verse 8. Exodus 6, 8 says, "And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord." So this same land that God promised Abraham, Moses is telling the children of Israel that that same land that God promised Abraham, he is going to give it to the children of Israel for an heritage. So it is still, you see, what is consistent? I will give. I will give. So it is the work of God. It is that which God will do. It is that which God promises to do. So it is God's promise, and he will be the one who fulfills his promise. What is this land that God promised Abraham that he wants to give the children of Israel? Don't think it's Canaan. Don't be quick to think it is Canaan. And I'll tell you why. When God made this promise to Abraham, Abraham was in Canaan. So Abraham was already dwelling in Canaan. So if Canaan was the land, there was nothing to look forward to. The land that God promised Abraham is by revelation. A land I will show you. A land I will show you. So you must pay attention to that. Get thee out of thy father's house, out of thy kindred, and go into the land I will show you. Are you with me? So if you hold your hand there and we go to Isaiah, what does Isaiah have to say about land or this land? Isaiah chapter 1. So what have we seen so far? We have read Abraham. In Abraham, we see that God promised Abraham land. And that land is a land by revelation. Somebody saying, give me physical land. Which one is land? Give me land in Lekki. Which one is land by revelation? No. God said, this land is a land I will show you. And then we've read Exodus that long after Abraham was gone, okay, God still continued to talk about his promise to Abraham to show that what he is not turning back on his promise because Abraham is no longer on the scene. That's what we mean when we say God is a faithful God. If I promise Brochelle something, if I promise to buy him, what do I buy for people in church? Puff puff. If I promise, just to save myself stress, if I promise to buy him puff puff, okay, and Brochelle leaves the service, and he now sends Sister Sheon. You know what Sister Sheon is, right? He sends a Sister Sheon. Faithfulness on my part would mean that Sister Sheung, I will give her the... So one part of me can say, since Brother Sheung is no longer around, I owed my puff puff to myself. I keep my money. But faithfulness will mean, since Sister Sheung is around, and I know what Sister Sheung means to Brother Sheung, I will still buy the puff puff, even though Brother Sheung is no longer around to hold me accountable. So when Abraham was long gone and was no longer around to say, God, you promised me land, God still continued to tell the promise to the generations after. Are you with me? So let's see Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 1, look at what it says in verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall what? You shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, what will happen? You will eat the good of the land. Again, you must know that Isaiah is not talking about a physical land. In fact, Isaiah now gives us more insight, because if you read Abraham, you think it's a physical land. By the time you read Exodus, you think it's a physical land. By the time you get to a student of the prophets, it gives us insight. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. What is the good of the land? It is not puff puff. It is not Nigerian jollof or Ghanaian jollof. No. No. Look at what it says in the verse before. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. He says, come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, what will happen? They shall be as wool. He now says, if you be willing and obedient. So what would the willingness be? Coming to reason with the Lord. So when you reason with the Lord, you are willing and obedient. So when he says you will eat the good of the land, what is the good of this land? Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. You know, a foreign missionary came to preach in, I think, South Africa, and he found out that there was no snow in Africa. So the day he was reading this scripture, he could not use white as snow, because the Africans had not seen snow before. So guess what he used? He said they will be white like the inside of a coconut. So he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be like wool. So he now says, if you be willing and obedient. So what would that willingness be? The willingness to reason with God. The willingness to reason with God. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So the good of the land, therefore, will be what? The forgiveness of sin. So now we are beginning to see the land that God promised Abraham. This guy says, the land, the good of the land is what? The forgiveness of sin. That if a man comes and reasons with God, that is, he allows God's reasoning in his mind, what is going to happen? His sins will be forgiven. How does God forgive sin? God brings man to reason with him. And the man that yields to God's reasoning in his mind, which he calls willing and obedient, will eat the good of the land, forgiveness of sin. Are you with me? Let's take our journey a little further to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter, some people think I'm going to 36. Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. In Ezekiel chapter 11, if you read verse 17, look at what it says in verse 17. Therefore, say, thus saith the Lord, I will even gather you from the people and do what? And assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered. And I will give you the land of Israel. It's getting interesting now. I will give you the land of Israel. Look at what it says in the next verse. And they shall come thither and shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. So what is God's promise about land here? He says, I will gather you from all the land of the Eden. And I will give you the land of Israel. So now the promise is, I will give you the land of Israel. And how will he do it? I will gather you from all the land of the Eden. And I will give you the land of Israel. He says, and what is the land? He says, you will take away, I will take away the detestable things. They will take away the detestable things and all the abomination. Look at what he says in verse 19. He says, and I will give them one heart. Ha. Is he giving them land or heart? Or you say the land is the heart that he gives. The land that he gives is the heart. He says, I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within you. What is the land that God gives? He will give us one heart, a new spirit. I'll put a new spirit within you and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. So what is the land that God promised to Abraham? I will give you one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. And he says that is the land of Israel. So when you are reading the land of Israel in the scriptures, what is it talking about? The new heart that God will give. So, when he says, I will go back to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus 6. Now, we are going back and forth. Like proper students of the prophets. Exodus chapter 6. Look at what it says again in verse 8. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you an heritage. I am the Lord. So remember in Ezekiel, he said, I will give you the land of Israel. Yeah, he says, I will give you the land that I promised to Abraham. Where were they when he promised them this land? They were in Egypt. Read the verse before. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. We are coming back to this phrase. I will be to you a God, you shall be to me a people. He says, and you shall know that I'm the Lord, which brings you out of from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So when God promised the children of Israel, the land of Israel, Ezekiel will let us know that the land of Israel
is the Spirit, the new Spirit that he gives. And if we go back to Exodus, when he promised them that land, where were they? In Egypt. So what will the land of Egypt be? The land of Egypt will be the counterfeit land of Israel. Right? It is another land, okay, that is not the promise of God. Because the promise of God is the land of Israel. Hope you know that when we are saying the land of Israel, now we are not talking about somewhere on the, in the Middle East that is close to Egypt and all that. The land of Israel versus the land of Egypt will make sense now. So when God is delivering the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, he's delivering them from what? That which was not his promise. And he's bringing them into what? That which is his promise. So what will, if the land of Israel, so let's do some maths now, or some logic. We already said that the land that God promised, according to Isaiah, what did Isaiah teach about the land? What is Isaiah's land? The forgiveness of sin. So what will Egypt be? No forgiveness of sin. Are you with me? Ezekiel says the land is a new spirit. The land is a new spirit. So what would the land of Israel is a new spirit. What would the land of Egypt be without the Spirit? So what is God's promise? What is the land that God will show Abraham? What is God's promise to Abraham? A man with forgiveness of sin. A man with a new spirit. So when you read about the promise of God in scriptures, what are you really reading about? The land, which is really not a land, but spirit. Glory to God. So if we go back to Ezekiel 11, look at where we read in verse 17. Therefore say, thus said the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries. So when he's saying, I'm assembling you out of the countries, you know what he's talking about now. One of them will be Egypt. Or really, all the countries. If it is not God's, if it is not the land that God promised, it is Egypt. That is the story that Moses is teaching with what he wrote in Exodus. That Egypt is not what God promised. And God will go any length to bring his people out of Egypt into the land that he promised. Because what do you find in Egypt? You find Pharaoh. What is Pharaoh? Hardness of heart, unbelief. And what comes out of unbelief? Death. Right? So, for example, when God said, I will smite the firstborn of Pharaoh, what is God killing? The offspring of unbelief, which is death. So, when God smites the firstborn of Pharaoh, what did he do? Is he a good thing or a bad thing? If you think Pharaoh is a physical human being, that God killed his little baby, that's a bad thing. But if you read why Moses wrote, Pharaoh is hardness of heart, unbelief. He says, I will harden my heart. The firstborn of Pharaoh, what comes out of hardness of heart? The wages of sin is death. So the firstborn of Pharaoh that was killed is actually death. And it was when God killed death that his children or the children of Israel were free to go. Are you with me? So for example, if you read, I have long, when I read, are you like me? When you read Psalm 136 and you are saying, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his good and his mercy endure forever. And you see him say, he slew Pharaoh. You're like, ah. This thing. If you think Pharaoh is a physical person, then it's not a good thing. You don't give thanks to God's mercy. Where is God's mercy in that? Because come to think of it, who will God really have mercy on? Is it the one that deserves or the one that doesn't deserve? The one that doesn't deserve. So if God in his mercy kills Pharaoh, then what is mercy? We need to redefine mercy. That is if it is the physical Pharaoh that you have in your mind. But if you are thinking of Pharaoh as the hardness of heart for which Moses actually wrote, then it was good that God killed Pharaoh and his firstborn. Are you with me? Hold your hand there and let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at what it says in verse 14. It says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You must not fall into the trap of reading the Bible like a natural man. Even though the Bible will use natural things, natural stories, natural occurrences, he is not talking about the natural. He is using the natural to teach the supernatural or the spiritual, really, the spiritual. He says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So if you go to Psalm 136, and you are thinking it is about the physical Pharaoh, it will be foolish. Because you'll be wondering, how are we saying God is merciful? Well, some people will say, yes, God that killed my enemy is merciful. But that is not mercy. You know, what saved me from this killing of enemies? If God likes me so much, okay, and he wants to kill bro G, because bro G is my enemy. One day, he will like bro Tolu so much, and I will be his enemy, and he will kill me too. And very soon, he will kill all of us. I think about that a lot. That if God kills somebody because of me, he's likely going to kill me because of someone. But that's not our God. So the natural man will pick the Bible and will read it that way. That God is merciful and he just wasted Pharaoh like that. No, that is Moses using the natural to teach the spiritual. That is the hardness of heart and what it produces, which is death, will be vanquished. So how did God destroy it? So God killed death. God killed that which made man perish. Drowned it. How did we get here? The land of Egypt will be what? The counterfeit land of Israel. And these lands that we are talking about, you can't fly an aeroplane over them. This land that I'm discussing this evening, if you have listened to me up to this point, you can't find it on the map. Because the land is God's promise. God's promise. So let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 11. How have I spent 30 minutes? But I'm happy. I still have 1 hour 30 to go. So what I just did, I still have 3 more times to do it. Look at her. Look at her now looking remorseful. It's my time to shine. Ezekiel 11. It says, verse 18. No, verse 17, right? It says, therefore say, thus saith the Lord, I will. It is the Lord's work. I will even gather you from the people. and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered. And what will happen? I will give you the land of Israel. He now says in verse 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. So this land of Israel that God is, how does God give you the land of Israel? By giving the land of Israel to you. That is, he puts that land of Israel in your heart. God is a real estate agent. He just doesn't deal in all this lucky land. Are you learning something this evening? So if you turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel 36, where you have been waiting for us to go. I mean, I'm merciful, I will oblige. Ezekiel 36. I like the guy. He's emphatic. He's emphatic. Learn from Ezekiel. The fact that you gave a word in chapter 11 doesn't mean you can't give it in chapter 36. Just come out and give it again. See, if I call you, if I minister prophecy, and I call you out to come and minister, it should be perfectly normal in our gathering that if somebody comes and says the exact same thing, the person shouldn't feel anyhow. It shouldn't feel inferior. And we should train ourselves not to see that person. We shouldn't see that person as, oh, he didn't know what to say, so he said what pastor said. No. It is perfectly okay. Have you read Genesis 1:1 and Jeremiah 7? Where the guy just copied Moses word for word. Okay, let me show you an example. Go to Micah. Before you go to Micah. Okay, let's do Micah. Go to Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Since we are talking about the things of the Spirit, I can just quickly do this. Look at what Micah says. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. It shall be exalted above the hills, and all people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go. So it's not only Nigerians that say, I'm going, I'm coming. How do we say it? Come and be going. Good. It says, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We'll walk in his path, for the Lord shall go forth of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hold your hand there, go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2, look at what it says in verse 2. Isaiah 2:2. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last day, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, will walk in his path, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Who copied who? Don't see it as copying. See it as somebody ministered and another person ministered. God is giving you an emphasis. God is giving us an emphasis. This one will come to pass. So if we were to be in a session where we are practicing the things, practicing utterance, and somebody gives a word, and another person comes out to give the same word, don't see it as he didn't know what to say. No, see it as God is giving us an emphasis. So if we were to minister utterance right now, and somebody starts and you are to go next. That's why you don't need to put yourself under pressure. If you don't know where to start, say what the last person said. God has said it, right? So you can't go wrong if you say it again. What you find out in practice is you never really say word for word what somebody else has said. The fact that you say it in your own words brings in a new thread. Let me use thread. Brings in a new thread. Devs want to use, what do people use? What's that word? In GitHub now. Not issue now. A branch. Oh my God. I'm more dev than all of you. Okay. So, it brings in, when you say it in your own word, somebody hears something. Do you know that sometimes you are in a meeting like this, and for the life of you, you don't even know where to start, what to say, nothing is on your mind. And somebody says something, and at that very instance, a thousand bells ring in your mind. Imagine that that person did not say it. You just be there wondering what is going to happen here today. So, what are we saying? When we are gathered together, we must learn to yield and flow freely, because somebody else's flow is always dependent on yours. Back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, look at what it says in verse 23. It says that, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, said the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Verse 24. For I will take you from where? From among the heathen. You see that promise again? I will take you from among the heathen. That same promise. He said it to the children of Israel. I will deliver you from the burden of the Egyptians. I'll deliver you from the burden of the Egyptians. Yeah, he says, I will take you from among the heathen. In Jeremiah, the one we read, what did he say? Or in the Ezekiel 11, he says, I will take you from them and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Right? So I will take you from among the heathen, and what will I do? I will gather you out of all countries. What have we said about all countries? All countries here is really how many countries? One country. The one that God did not promise. So he's not talking about, I'll bring you out of Nigeria, I'll bring you out of Ghana and send you to Canada. No. He's not sending you to Canada. When he says, I will take you out of all countries, he's really talking about one country, the one that God did not promise. And I will bring you into your own land. I will bring you into your own land. Verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you? What is the land that is bringing them into? The clean water that he will sprinkle. Same thing that guy in Isaiah said. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land, which is really, if your sins be red as scarlet, they will be white as wool. Are you with me? So, yeah, he says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, which is what? Land. So if God appears to you and says, I want to give you land, calm down and let him finish. Because when God promised to give you land, he will explain himself. He will explain himself. He said, I will give you, I'll bring you into your own land, which is what? I will sprinkle you with clean water. And what will happen? You will be clean. So what is the land? Really, is God wants men who are clean with clean water. In case you didn't get it, it says, from all your filthiness will I cleanse you. From all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26, it says, a new heart also will I give you. So what is the land that God is bringing? What is their land that God is bringing them to? A new heart will I give you. A new heart will I give you. And what else? A new spirit will I put within you. So the new heart is the new spirit. It says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. You know, this one verse of scripture where flesh is used in a good way. I'll give you an heart of flesh. It's not saying I'll give you a carnal heart. It says, I will give you a heart that will be willing and obedient. Are you with me? So what is the land that God promised Abraham? What's the land? The new heart, which is the new spirit. And look at what it says, verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you. I will put my very, Brother Hagin will say, God is my father, my very own father. He's saying, I will put my spirit, my very own spirit within you. So what is the land that God is promising? He will put his spirit within us. Are you with me? He will put his spirit within us. He has called that, I will cleanse you. So the cleansing with clean water is what? The putting of the spirit within us. The cleansing with clean water is the giving us of a new heart. The cleansing with clean water is what that guy, Isaiah, will describe as, if your sin be red as scarlet, they will be white as wool. Says, I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. This is an instructive piece of scripture. When it says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. How will God make a man do what he wants him to do? He will give that man his spirit. That's why we say there is nobody with God's spirit that is outside of God's plan. There is no believer that is not in God's plan. Because by receiving the Spirit, God can make you do every other thing that he needs you to do. Are you with me? Because we see many people, am I in God's plan? Am I in God's plan? You are saved. You are in a local church. You are serving. And you are still asking, am I in God's plan? What exactly are you looking for? You see, that fear will bring you torment. That fear of, am I in God's plan? What does God tells you, go. So this God tells you, go to secondary schools and start an outreach. You've not started. You are saying, I want to find out what is the next phase. What is next phase? What's the meaning of next phase? I want to find out what's the next phase in God's agenda. Am I in God's plan? Am I in God's plan? You are saved. You have God's spirit within you. You are serving. You are in a local church. We know you. You know us. You are serving. And you are still worrying yourself. Am I in God's plan? Am I in God? That fear is what will eventually, that fear brings torment. So many people live in that anxiety all their lives. That, I don't even know whether I'm working in God's plan for my life or not. And then there's the second category I just described. What is the next phase in God's agenda for my life? Don't worry yourself about the next phase. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. What do you know to do? You have a spirit. You have instructions in the word, to study the word, to pray, to be part of a local church, to serve, to love the saints. Do that. If it needs you to do anything, see, if that is all you do, you will not appear before God and he will say you didn't work in his plan. I'm telling you that for a fact. That you did all you knew to do in the word, you will not appear before God and he says you didn't work in his plan. No. No. So don't live in worry and anxiety. He has already put his spirit within you. And by that spirit, he causes you to walk in his statutes. I cannot miss God's plan. I am already in it. Already in it. There's nothing to fear. This whole issue of what does God want me to do? See, if God wants you to do something, you will know. That's the meaning of I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. See, it is harder for you. It is more difficult to not know what God wants you to do than to know it. I hope I said that well. It is very easy. The man that has the spirit, very easy to know what God wants you to do. How easy? The instructions he has given in the word. And if that is all you do, see, let me describe it further. When God is judging, God will not judge you according to what you didn't know. Do you understand? He won't say, there was my plan. So when your mother gave birth to you, I wrote a 100-page document. Okay? But all you knew was 40 pages. So the remaining 60 pages, you are going to give account. No. God is not going to judge you according to what you didn't know. He will judge you according to what you knew. So get busy with what you know. Stop saying, what is the next phase in the agenda? The one he asked you to do, do it with all your might. But it's not that hard. He has already put his spirit. I live in that confidence and assurance. He has already put his spirit within me. And with that, it causes me to walk in his statutes. That's how God leads us. It is easy for God to lead a man who has the spirit. There are steps you will take. There are steps you will take. This reminds me of a very funny story. There are steps you will take that you think I'm the one taking it. But because his spirit is within you, it is natural to you. That is him saving you out of trouble. Where Abike and I were at the market yesterday, Thursday, went to buy some stuff in the market. And so when we were coming, a guy walked up to me and gave me a paper. He said they are doing lottery. He said, Go TV. I don't even watch Go TV. Like, who watches Go TV? I don't know, buddy. So I'm like, and I was in Idumota. I live in K2. I shouldn't have said that on here. But you get, if I want to buy Go TV, is it from the island? I'll buy Go TV tomorrow. So, but anyway, to cut the long story short, I collected the paper out of respect. Out of respect. So I collected the paper, and he thought I was following him, but me, I was looking for the bus that would take me home. So when we found the bus that was going to take us home, we entered, and the guy ran after us. That what happened? Kiniko, that is in front, that will collect the lotto. He gave me pen. So apparently, it was even a lotto stuff. So he gave me a pen that I should choose a number. It was IBK that collected everything. I just threw it away. That we are not interested. We are going home. We are looking for a motto that will take us home. And then it was in the bus that people then said, if I had gone with him, I'd have been beaten black and blue. Yes. People who know the market will know. There was a woman in the bus that said, when she saw me collect the paper, that she was willing to come down to tell those guys that I am her brother, just so that I don't follow them. The man who has the spirit, it will cost you. So it could have been like, we found the motto that we're looking for. But really, no, that was God by his spirit saving us out of trouble. Because you see that motto that we entered, in front, they were still entering the motto. Are you with me? So the man who has the spirit, there are steps you would take that you feel like is natural to you, is my steps. But because you have his spirit, that is God directing you, leading you. It's natural to you because it should be. So I live confident in that. My steps cannot slide. Yes. I cannot take the wrong step. I have the spirit. You know that stuff we were saying on Sunday? It brings us news from within. It brings us news from within. You are praying, somebody just pops up in your mind out of nowhere. He's bringing you news. I'm never stranded, never confused, never. I always know what to do. Many times, knowing what to do is as simple as taking a decision. How many of you were here at the Holy Ghost meeting when Pastor Seku was around? He said, he called people and said, you need to minister to someone, but you don't know. He said, left or right, choose one. It's as simple as that many times. It's as simple as left or right. Because the man who has the spirit has already been caused by God to walk in the statutes of God. Are you with me? Go back to Ezekiel. We're in Ezekiel 36. I'm going to read verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgment and do them. And look at what it says in verse 28. And you will dwell in the land, that land again. You will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. What did he give to the fathers? Promise. So, the promise that he gave to the fathers, what will happen? You will dwell in it. You will inherit the promise that he gave to the fathers. Are you with me or have you gone home? You're with me. Says, you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Do you remember we read, you shall be my people, I'll be your God? Where did we read it? Exodus. Exodus 6. So it means, when you read God saying, you will be my people and I will be your God, he's really saying, I will put my spirit within you. Because how are we going to be the people of God He will put his spirit within us. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. What does that mean? You will dwell in the land. What does it mean to dwell in the land? I'll put my spirit within you. I have the spirit. I have the spirit of God. I have his very own spirit. God is my very own father, and I'm his very own child. The promise is fulfilled already. Hallelujah. Look at what it says. Verse 28. And you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. The land that he gave to the fathers is the promise that he gave to the fathers. When we dwell in it, the promise is fulfilled. So what is the promise of land really? It is God's spirit in man. God's spirit in men. So when you read about God promising land, it is really God wants to put his spirit in man. Look at what it says in verse 33. Thus said the Lord God, in that day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, what will happen? I will cause you to dwell in the cities. Where is cities coming from? Land, same as cities. Eventually, you come to agree that God is a real estate agent. Yes. Because he has moved from selling land or giving land to giving estates now. 5 meters from Dangote Refinery. It says, verse 33, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. So he's a builder. All these things that we are talking, why are they using all these terms? They are using what we know, this natural, to teach the spiritual. All the ways shall be builded, verse 34, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. So people have seen God's promise and they are wondering, how will he bring it to pass? How can that happen? How can a man have God's spirit? How can a man have God's very own spirit? So I'll do it. I'll do it. And when I do it, the desolate land, that which seemed impossible, will be filled. So what is this desolate land? The heart without the spirit. The man without the spirit. And what will God do? He will put his spirit. So the desolate land will be filled. Desolate land being filled is the same as a man in a strange land coming to his own land. Right? Right? Desolate land being filled is a man that was living outside the city will now begin to dwell in the city. Are you with me? It says, the desolate land, verse 34, shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all the passed by. Verse 35, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become what? Like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. The next verse. Then the eating that are left round about, you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. So all that we are describing is the work of God. Is the work of God. It is God that will put his spirit
within us. And he says, what does it mean? It will give us land. Guys, we are possessors. We are possessors of land, the land that God gives. We are possessors of the land that God gives. We are now dwelling in that which he promised. The land that he gave to the fathers is now our own dwelling place. The land that he gave to the fathers is now our dwelling place. Glory to God. Let's say together, glory! If you turn your Bibles with me again to Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, and you read verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That what? That the blessing of Abrahamu, might come on the Gentiles. What is the blessing of Abraham? Hold your hand in that verse 13 where we are, and let us go up to verse 8. Let's read verse 8, because if I read verse 7, I will explain what I don't need to explain. Look at verse 8. And the scripture, when it says the scripture, it's talking about the writings of Moses. The scriptures, the writing of Moses, foreseeing that God would justify the Eden through faith. What is the Eden? The one that is in the land that God did not promise. Right? And what will God do? God will justify that guy, the Eden, through faith. Because the scripture foresaw that, he preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. Hold your hand there. Let us go back to Acts 3, where we started. Because it's interesting that every writer keeps talking about this, in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. Acts 3. Glory to God. Glory! We are possessors, guys. We are not without inheritance. Glory to God. Acts chapter 3. Look at what it says in verse 25. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thee shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now, let us go back to our Galatians. Look at what it says in Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Eden through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So when you are reading Genesis 12, where it says, in thee will all the nations of the earth be blessed, what is he talking about? The writer of Galatians, Paul, lets us know that that is the gospel being preached to Abraham. So he's not talking about cattle and ram and bodyguards. He's not talking about bodyguards. When he says, in thee all the nations of the earth will be blessed, he's talking about the gospel that was preached to Abraham. So when you read in thee all the nations of the earth be blessed, what are you reading about? The gospel preached to Abraham. Now, let us go back to verse 14. So, when it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, if we were to substitute, what will we read? In thee will all the nations
of the earth be blessed, or we say the gospel, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. What is that blessing of Abraham? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit through faith. Because the Bible seminar, when it says the promise of the Spirit, that's what promise of the Spirit, the word of, is a genitive. And you know, I've been saying it again and again. I told you that it's an English, is a language thing. How many of you checked it? Even if you didn't check, the merciful me has come. So I'm going to read out how they described genitive of apposition for you. So it says, the genitive of apposition is a grammatical construction where a genitive noun phrase, the possessor, is placed next to another noun phrase, the possessee. And both refer to the same entity. Does that make sense? So when it says the promise of the Spirit, that is the promise, and then the of is the genitive of apposition, and it is placing the Spirit and the promise side by side, they mean the same thing. Does that make sense to you? So, if you go back to Galatians, sorry, the fan has blown my Bible to Colossians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 14. So, it says, that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit. So we said the promise is what? The Spirit. So when you read the promise that God made to Abraham, what is that promise? The Spirit. What is the land that God promised Abraham? Men with the Spirit. Men that have the Spirit is the promise that God made unto Abraham. So when you are reading about the land, it is not physical land. Hold your hand there. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Wait, do you guys really hold your hand? You should. That's why you have all this. Hebrews 11, I love how the writer of Hebrews teach, how he taught this stuff. Clean. Hebrews 11, look at what it says, starting from verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, did what? Obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. Does that make sense? So if it was a physical place, he would have known. I mean, if you walk out now, you shall see way before you. Look at what he says in verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Okay? Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, who heirs, the heirs with him of the same promise. And then I'm going to read verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Let's go back to verse 8. By faith, Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, and what? He obeyed. He went out and he didn't know where he was going. So Abraham did not go into a physical place, clearly. So verse 9, he sojourned in the land. So verse 8 calls it a place. Verse 9 calls it land. So we are able to merge with Genesis 12. So he sojourned in the land of promise. Remember, our genitive, right? Land of promise will be land, I mean promise, right? So, where did Abraham sojourn? In the promise. In the land, I mean the promise. Okay? And what happened? He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. When he says Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles and tents with Isaac and Jacob, the guy was actually in Canaan. The guy was in Canaan. So the land of promise couldn't have been Canaan. Do you understand what I'm saying? The land of promise couldn't have been Canaan if he was already in Canaan. Because you find out. Let's read on. So look at what it says. It says, he dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So when he says heirs, it means they were inheritors. What did they inherit? The same promise. So they were all inheritors of the promise, which is what? Land. Right? They were all inheritors of the promise, which is land. Look at what the land says in verse 10. For he looked for a city when he's in Canaan. He's in Canaan. So for him to be looking for a city, it means Canaan was not the land. It was not a physical land. Look at what it says. He looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So what was he looking for? He was looking for the city that God built. The builder and maker, that is the architect. What is that city whose builder and maker is God? The promise. Because God is the architect of his own promise, the beginning and the finish. So you say, the author and the finisher of our faith. That is the one that makes the promise and is the one who fulfills the promise. Are you with me? So he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. The city where God is the architect. So now everything comes together. Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. What would be the house that God did not build, that men labor in vain for? Egypt. The land. The land that is not God's promise. Egypt. It says, except the Lord watches over a city, the watchmen stayed awake but in vain. Is he saying God is now in FBI? No. It's just the same way God is not a literal builder, architect. He's just using, so he's not, when he says, except God's build house, the labor in vain that build it, he's not saying something different. When he says, except the Lord watches over a city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. He's talking about the same thing. That God is the architect of his own promise. He's the one that made the promise and he's the one that will fulfill it. Man's undoing is trying to always fulfill God's promise. Man is always trying to fulfill God's promise. And where does that land? Egypt. That land where man wants to fulfill the promise of God is the land of Egypt. And it describes it as a land of burden and bondage. Are you with me? So, it says, Abraham sojourned, verse 9, Hebrews 11, 9, in the land of promise, as in a strange land, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He now says in verse 10, that he looked for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That is the city where God is the originator and the fulfiller. God originates and fulfills, the author and finisher of our faith. If you now go to verse 14, look what it says in verse 14. Before you read verse 14, let's read verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, the land, right? But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. So, if you come to Abraham today, and you say, are you not already in Canaan where God promised you? Abraham will say, are you not man? Because Abraham was persuaded that this physical land where I'm in is not the land that God promised. It's not the land that God promised. It says, they were persuaded of them. So it was not a thing of, you know, people have this question around, did he know when God told him, I'll give you land, that God was talking about spirit? Definitely. He knew. So when God told him, I will give you the land, look, you know, God told him, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I will give you a land that I will show you. One day in chapter 15, he called him out. He said, look to the heavens. Count the stars, they are yours. So how many things, even if you are Abraham, after a while, you figure that this thing cannot be all these physical things. If God calls you today and says, go into the land I will give you. And then right in the same sentence, he says, in you, all the families of the earth be blessed. And then 3 chapters after, he says, come out. Look to the heavens. Look at the skies. Your descendants will be as much as this. After a while, you yourself will know that, okay, even if I can own 10 acres in Lekki, will I go and be plucking stars? So after a while, it will make sense to you that what God is describing cannot be the physical. He's just using the physical to describe the spiritual. So did Abraham know that the land that God promised is his spirit in man? Yes. He was persuaded. Since he was persuaded of them, embraced them, and because of that, they confessed. So you think, Abraham already owned Canaan. When you speak with Abraham, what was his confession? I'm a stranger here. So Abraham would take money and buy land, buy tomb. Isaac would take money, buy tomb, buy parcels of land. And when you come, you say, are you the owner? What would they say? Say, I'm a stranger here. Why? Verse 14. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek what? Verse 16. What country do they desire? Now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly country. The place has become the land, has become the city, has become a country, the same thing. And these guys knew it. They longed for it. The dream of Abraham, now my own reality. With all the land, all the gold, all the cattle, he kept looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I tell you, if I have that city that Abraham is looking for, I have all. He was looking for a better country. And heavenly. So finally, Hebrews saves us. Says, all this land that you are sharing, all these all these cities and countries and nations, is heavenly. Heavenly. Look at what it says. What is that land that is heavenly? Let's read the next line together. One, two, go. Are you here or have you gone home? Let's read the next line. 1, 2, go. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So what is the land that Abraham looked forward to? God not ashamed to be their God. That is fulfilled already. So when we sing, this is the promised land. This is the rock that I've drawn from. This is the bread of life. I hunger no more. I thirst no more. It means I have the Spirit.
I have the Spirit. I am that promised land. The Spirit is in me. The Spirit in man is God's promised land. That I have the Spirit, the promise is fulfilled. Look at the promised land standing behind before you. What Abraham looked forward to is now my reality. I have the Spirit of God. I have the Spirit of God. The promise that God... Look at Acts chapter 2 as we round off tonight. I'm giving you 30 minutes. I'll take it tomorrow. Specifically in the afternoon session. Yes, I've told you. And I'm merciful. It's because I'm merciful, I'm not taking it tonight. I mean, Acts chapter 2. Is the promised land the forgiveness of sin or the giving of the Spirit? Same thing. In fact, somebody called it cleansing with clean water. They want me to call water like a Nigerian. I'm not one of you. Another person says, I will cleanse you from all your idols. Same thing. Another one says, the desolate land is now tilled. Same thing. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 37 or 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So who are those that are afar off? The people in Egypt. Everyone in Egypt. And God is calling to everyone. He's calling to everyone because the promise to go out of Egypt to the land of Israel is to everyone. And what has he done? He has fulfilled. He has fulfilled it. So Peter is saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. There's nobody that has believed in Christ that does not have the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God within you. You have the Spirit. You have the Spirit. You have the promise fulfilled. The promise that God made to the fathers is now fulfilled within you. Hallelujah. So I live my life knowing that I have the Spirit. Remember what it says in Ezekiel. It says, I will put my Spirit within you. Man does not have, there are no two spirits, really. Man does not have another spirit that is aside from God's Spirit. What he promised is he will put his Spirit within us. We shall change ourselves when we think God created human spirits and he put it within us, but there is God's own spirit that is for God. If that was it, Abraham would not look forward. He puts his very own spirit within us. The believer is the house of God's Spirit. I am the house of God's Spirit. The implication is, really, what you are is, in plain terms, the Apostle Paul says, a shrine. If anybody wants to contact God, they contact God through you. Because you are where God's Spirit dwells. God has found a home in you. Somebody says, but I thought God lives in heaven. And now? God lives in heaven, but where is that heaven?
Yeah, in your heart. Hallelujah. You are the house of spirits, God's own spirit. Let's say together, I am the house of God's spirit. I am the house of God's spirit. I am the postcode of glory. You can say address, Nigerians. Me, I'm UK at heart. Really, 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 really. Me and Maureen. UK at heart. Don't you see the way we talk? Do we talk like one of you? We are one family, don't worry. But let's say together, I am the postcode. I won't become Nigerian because of you. You are the ones that will become UK because of me. I am the postcode of glory. I am the postcode of power. I am the address of God on the earth today. Hallelujah. Let's say together, glory! 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 Hallelujah! Glory to God. Have you learned something tonight?